We're going to be in John chapter 14 this evening, and a subject that basically I started studying about 15 years ago, and then I ended up writing a book about, is the Holy Spirit. So there's different ways to study, okay? So there's lots of people, Pastor Ross would know this, back in the 80s, the ecumenical movement, which a lot of that was driven by Moody. The ecumenical movement came, and through the 80s, they were like the deeper life movement. Now, it was pretty interesting because they conned all the people that were going there, because as independent Baptists, we always said three to thrive. So you had to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday in order to make it, all right? Well, they told everybody, we're going down to one service, but we're the ones that know more of the Bible. Now, I don't know how they convinced everybody, except basically a lot of people just wanted to believe it so that they could do less church. All right, but they all said, we do verse by verse. We do verse by verse. All right, and so I understand that's, but actually that's one way to study the Bible. Right. That's just one way. Right. So guess what? They all twitch, all right? They all are, I mean, if you don't study all ways, then you're kind of imbalanced. So for instance, if you only study verse by verse, another way to study is called doctrinal studies. So doctrinal studies, and I didn't come up with this, men that were much more learned than me, they basically looked at the Bible, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and they divided it into 10 categories. For instance, all right, so this will help you for tomorrow and Friday. I know you're in southern Indiana, and you'd be like, well, they just me coming to church, they're like, dude, all right, why are you at church again? Well, I'm going to have you, I'm going to throw some big words out, so that tomorrow when they ask you at lunch, like, what you learn, you can throw these big words, and they'll be like, all right? They'll just stare at you very oddly. All right, for instance, all right, the study of the church. Anybody know what the study of the church is called? Ecclesiology. It's all ology. So the ology means study. And ecclesiology is the church. So there was the study of the church. There's the study of end times. What's that called? Eschatology. All right. And then you have the study of salvation. That's soteriology. So somebody more learned than I, many years ago, took the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and the way that you flow through that doctrine is seeing what every book in the Bible, what does it say about it? So guess what people that only study verse by verse do? I believe that they're weak in doctrine. You'd say, why? Well, because I want to know what the whole context of Scripture says about this doctrine. If I'm so in, all right, studying the trees, I miss the forest. So yes, I want to study books. I want to study verses. I want to study doctrines. And you can also do word studies. I like doing word studies too. So tonight, we're basically just looking at a doctrinal study, and that is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what the name of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is? This is an awesome one. Pneumatology. All right, so pneuma means wind. All right, so it's, and that is one of the pictures of the Holy Spirit, wind. So, again, tomorrow, Friday, wow, somebody, you'll go to sleep the rest of the service, all right? But what we're trying to do is look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter, if you ever want to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, there's two key passages that help you understand that. John 14, 15, and 16, and Romans 6, 7, and 8. There's other passages, but those six chapters, if you dive into those, you will find a lot of information about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So this evening, we're going to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So look at John chapter 14. And Jesus says this in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what's the word there? All right, so I'll read again. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? That he may abide with you forever. So let me help you. So word studies. So the New Testament is written in what? Greek. It was, the original autographs, we would call that, it was in Greek. So I had a Greek teacher that helped me never forget comforting. Never. All right. Now, I love soccer. Right? I don't anymore. All right. I'm way too old to do that. Okay. But when I think it was in fourth grade, I started playing soccer, and I played it in junior high. I played it in high school. I played it in college. I even coached some of it. So I love soccer. So our Greek teacher knew that a bunch of us love soccer, and he said, so a word study. When you're studying words, sometimes you look back at what the original words. And some people get mad, like when a pastor gets up and he says Greek or Hebrew. Well, I do that also in other words. In English, you have words that come from Latin and French and all that. It's trying to understand how it was used historically and things like that. So he said, hey, so this was written in the Greek. And he said, those of you that like soccer, guess what the Greek word for comforter is? It's a paracletes. I've never forgot it. All right, and maybe a little carnal, all right, but guess what? I've never forgot the word for comforter. So comforter, all right, paracletes. So a paraclete. So what is paraclete? It's somebody that comes alongside. Somebody that comes alongside, that'll help us. So look at verse 17. So is this talking about the Spirit? Yes. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And notice what he says. So this is doctrinal teaching. And what's that word?
Shall.
Oh, wait a minute. Shall be in you. All right, so there's two things to think about. So there's been a great debate in the past. So the Old Testament was different in regards to the Holy Spirit than the New Testament. How do we know that? The Bible. Who's he talking to? The disciples, and he said, shall. He wasn't there yet. Now, was the Holy Spirit working? Yes. We know that from the Old Testament. Remember, David even said it. The Holy Spirit kind of departed from him. Okay? But it doesn't, the Old Testament was a little bit, for us, we call this dispensation, all right? But it was a little bit different. But Jesus is helping the disciples know that here is the Holy Spirit, and what is going to happen? Those that are saved, look at verse 17, he's going to be where?
In you.
In you. And notice, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live. Also at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in him, and I in you. So here in this passage, it introduces this idea of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. This evening, we want to look at that idea, the Holy Spirit. So this is what the Bible tells us. You can find this in Romans chapter 8. You can also find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Upon salvation, I get the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in me, the Bible says, forever. Okay? Or basically, the Holy Spirit is in me. So I don't get like, so there was a debate many years ago, I think with a misunderstanding with being filled with the Holy Spirit. So basically, the idea of being filled with the Spirit is like, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit like filled my ankle down. And so I'm trying to get the rest of them. No, it's just a misunderstanding. So the Holy Spirit came in me, and that also, there's things that the Holy Spirit does for every believer. Amen. Now, there's debate on the unction. I understand that. We're not going to talk about that tonight. This isn't pastors sitting here. You know who it is? It's every believer, and this is what I'd like to just speak on for a little bit and show you. How do you know when you've messed up with that person that's in you? There's ways. The Bible tells you. There's indicators that tell me that, wait a minute, this person that is in me, that's the Holy Spirit, I've messed him up. As in, I've messed up my relationship with him. And guess what the Holy Spirit's been given to you for? He's been given to you so that you can experience victory every day. Every day. But you know what? I meet people all the time, and they say they're Christians, and I'm like, Wow, you sure seem like a loser. All right, that's my vernacular, all right? I'm like, man, there seems to be no victory. You live in defeat, all this, so what's going on? They don't understand who's in them, the Holy Spirit. This evening, let's think about evidences of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless, give us wisdom, guidance. Lord, as we flow through this subject, I pray that it would be very evident that you're here. And Lord, as always, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're here in John 14. If you'll turn, and you probably want to keep your finger in John 14, 15, and 16, and in Romans chapter 8. So let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And notice, while you're going there, I'm going to read a verse in John chapter 6. And this will help you. John chapter 6 is Jesus. He fed the 5,000. Then after the feeding of the 5,000, he starts talking to his followers. And there's a lot of hard language there. And some even go away. But Jesus says this: "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit," what is the word? "Is life because of righteousness." Look at 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Look at verse 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." What is an evidence that I have a right relationship with the Spirit of God that's dwelling in me? There is life. I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about a vibrancy in your life. I've met Christians, and I'm telling you, it seems like you just might as well build the casket. There's no life. There's no vibrancy. There should be a vibrancy in your life because of the Holy Spirit being inside me. One of the things that when you study doctrine, there's a word called regeneration. Regeneration is a work of the Spirit and a work of the Word of God. And regeneration is a life. It's a vibrancy. Yes. Now, the Pentecostals got this idea wrong. Now, they have life. Woo! They got life. But guess what? Remember the word that was there in Romans chapter 8 and also in John chapter 6? It's an old English word. Remember word studies?
Right.
Quicken. So what does quicken mean? Alive. So if you go to the Old Testament, the chapter that the word quicken is used the most in the whole Old Testament is, guess what? Psalm 119. Look it up sometime. Quicken, 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 quicken. So what do we know about Psalm 119? It's all about the Bible. So where did the Pentecostals mess up? They forgot to look at the whole Bible, the context. You see, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will never work separate. They work in tandem together. So when the Pentecostals are out there and they're saying the Holy Spirit is doing things that the Word of God says, no, the Holy Spirit will not work against it. They work together. So the Holy Spirit and the Bible, when it's used properly, brings life. This is what I can tell you. There are some times, all right, we got young people and we got old geezers like me. And guess what? There are some times you get up and you're reading your Bible and, there's not a lot of vibrancy. I understand that. And maybe even in your prayer life. Some of those, there are habits that we do, and those habits over time, there can be waves of, I would say, excitement. Okay? But when you see a pattern that church is dull. You really just aren't excited about sharing Christ with people. When it's just, you know, it's been a while since really a passage jumped out at me personally. And this is what I'm talking about. I love church. I love pastors. But this is what I'm finding all over. The average person. The Holy Spirit's yours. He's yours. And so you expect all this from the people of the cloth. But you're dying on the vine. Now why is it? Does the pastor get like this extra amount of the Holy Spirit? And he's like, whoa! You have him too. Amen. Let him do his work. Amen. Let him breathe through you. Amen. That's the idea of revival. You know, revival, and one of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is wind. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 37? And Ezekiel was told to do that weird job, and that is to preach at a Sunday morning Baptist church. You'd say, wait a minute, that's not in the text. Yeah, it's kind of there in the Hebrew. Remember word studies? It says that he had to preach to dry bones, and not just dry bones, but very dry bones. That's Sunday morning on a Baptist church. You'd say, and what happened? You read the text, and it was a wind, and that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, and that is you. When it's dry and it's a little crusty, the Holy Spirit's there.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Say, God, just stir me up again.
Amen.
Make it alive. Amen. Make the Bible alive and real. You know what I've found in the last couple years? People have asked me. I have a pastor friends. I just had one a couple of weeks ago. He's sitting across from Blue Gate. If you're ever in Shipshawana, highly recommend Blue Gate. All right, it's good food. But he's sitting there and we're talking, and he was like, so, did you like pastoring? And I did. I love being a youth pastor. And he says, so why are you doing this? I said, because God wants me to do it. That's what you do. You do what? I just don't do, you know, I find the funnest occupation in the world. That's what I'm going to do. You do what God tells you to do. But this is what's amazing to me. What God has taught me in the last 2 years is that he cares about minute details.
Yes, sir.
And he can answer them. It amazes me. All right, here's a simple example. Last year, I left like April 22nd or something like that from Dover, Delaware, and I returned 7 weeks later to Delaware with my Nissan. I did 6,700 miles, and in 6,700 miles, I paid $100 for gas.
Amen.
You say, what happened? I found a substitute. No, I didn't find it. All right, the blood of toads. No, all right. People would come up and say, hey, can we fill up your car? Can we do this? You know, we had just finished 1 year, and you know what? There wasn't a lot in the bank account for the seminary. And what God said is, I got it. And there are things that I've prayed for so specifically, and it amazes me that God says, I got it. You know what that's done for me personally? It's breathed life. Because God cares. God cares about it. So there's life. Let's look at the second thing here, and this is the one that probably is the one that we won't like a lot. So in John 16, so he said there's John 14, 15, and 16. So here we are in John 16. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, so all this is Jesus talking to his disciples. It's his last discussion with his disciples. So that's the crowd. Look at what he says in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, here's that word, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, what's he going to do? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Here's the second indicator that my relationship with the Holy Spirit's off. One is I've lost that life, that vibrancy. The second is I no longer am convicted. It's one of his jobs. I miss being home. All right, when I'm home, you say, so what do? I go to church and I get preached at. You know, it's just, and it's odd. Every time I'm sitting in church, it seems like the preacher, like, is preaching right at me. And so I end up at the altar. I love being convicted. Because it means that the Holy Spirit is at work. But does it just have to be on Sunday when you're convicted? No. And this is an evidence that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is at, as I call, a very elementary level. So when's the last time God spoke to you in your Bible reading? Now, one, you'd have to read your Bible. But then two, is he speaking to you? And if not, then guess what? You're missing out. The Holy Spirit wants, the Bible says he wants to guide us into all truth. One of the things that I love is the study of being a Baptist. So what is one of the distinctives of being a Baptist? The priesthood of the believer. And we all are like, yeah, I'm the priesthood of the believer. But that means that you can go boldly into the throne of grace. So when have you done it? And that means that God doesn't have to go through somebody else to get to you. He has the Spirit of God inside of you. But when's he talked to you last time? When we were doing a study, I was doing a studying for the book and researching it some. Through the scriptures, and it's one of the chapters. Basically, boil it down. I believe some people think of one or two ways. I believe there are nine different ways that we can hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. And I think we do so many of them. Now, the Bible talks about some quenching and grieving and different things like that. But I wonder how many of us, we just ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we think that, oh, it's not a big deal. Do you know what you're missing out on? Do you remember that passage in Romans chapter 8? Do you remember who was responsible for resurrecting Jesus from the dead? According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, notice what he says, dwell in you. Do you know what is available? And I'm not here getting Pentecostal or charismatic, but they are right in one regards. There is an untapped amount of power that is available to us, but it's not for me to get glory. It's not for me to do some, you know, healing or whatever. No, it's so that I can, as I believe, go into my promised land and conquer and win victories. Right. Do you know what so many people do?
Yeah.
I don't know. The giants are so big. They are. But I don't fight in my power. Fight through his power. So there's conviction. Notice we're there in John 16. So look back in John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, there's our word again, which is the Holy Ghost. So that explains it again. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to remembrance whatsoever is said unto you. Verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. So my, and again, you can disagree with this, but I believe that word peace is a name for the Holy Spirit. And the reason I believe that is because in the whole context, who has he been talking about? The Holy Spirit. I'm sending you. I'm sending him to you. I'm sending him to you. And then he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what is another evidence of the Holy Spirit? And I have a right relationship, so there's life, there's conviction, there's peace. Peace. It amazes me when you're working with people. And some people, a tragedy of all tragedies, and you walk into the room and, oh, the Holy Spirit's there. And it's amazing. You go to minister to them and you just are in awe of God. Because that's what he can do. But guess what happens when I don't have the right relationship with the Holy Spirit and something happens that I don't like? Seeing good Christians just go haywire on God. You know what that means? They don't have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there to give you peace. That's why I can remember that book, Every Day is a Tough Day, is my answer to Joel Osteen. All right, for him, every day is a Friday. Well, yeah, all right. All right, basically you believe in nothing, preach positive prosperity, and everything's positive, everything's good, and buy a $20 million house and everything else. You know what? Yeah, every day's a Friday. All right, no, it ain't. Really, every day's a Monday sometimes. All right? Well, what I found, and especially working with young people, I'm trying to, I try not to discourage them, but every day's a tough day. This world, we sing it, this world is not my home. So what is this world? It's trouble. It's as the sparks fly upward. Read the book of Job and tell me that as you walk away from it, you're like, wow, this is positive. Man, that was tough. But sometimes that's life. But this world is not what it's about. And the Holy Spirit can come and he can minister to you and give you that peace. Let's say, this is very connected to that. If you remember, we're there in John 14. So in John 14, 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled, right? You believe in God, believe also in me. So then we go back to Romans 8. Remember, it's John and Romans 8. So look at Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, what does he do? Helpeth our infirmities. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing. I'm so glad that when I look at this text, it helps me, because the Apostle Paul in writings included himself, our. He didn't say, no, the Spirit's going to help your infirmities because I ain't got any. And he also did this. He didn't just include himself. He made it plural. So he helps our infirmity. You know what the Apostle Paul says? We all have weaknesses. And I'm glad that, man, I can be included with the Apostle Paul. My book, he's all right. He's a pretty good guy. But he said, I got infirmities. And what does that mean? It's weaknesses. It's weaknesses. You know that all of us, we have weaknesses. You can study that all through Scripture. You can see in Hebrews chapter 12, and it talks about, it's not just talking about a sin that besets, but it talks about weaknesses. There are weaknesses that each of us have. Now, I'm different, and I have very, very little weaknesses and all. And I'm sure you're thinking that. You're like, you don't. All right, I know. All right, I'm different. But all of us have weaknesses. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? He helps you. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh groanings, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has been given to us. So when I have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. I have life. I have conviction. I have peace. I have help for my weaknesses. But then, we're going to leave the John 14, and we're going to go look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. So you'll find that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this text here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. So Romans 15 starting in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of, here it is, the Holy Ghost. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up to the Gentiles might be acceptable, here's the phrase, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So this tells me one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost. He's been given to me. And so when I have a right relationship, he wants to bring life. That's that quickening. And that's not talking about salvation. That's where I think some of the guys, the Reformed guys, they get this out of whack, because I think that in studying scriptures, they're off. Now, some, they're off even in their timing. We would call that dispensations. But they're off in some of this. So they say that everything is future. But in the Bible, there are some things that it's talking about now. It's not talking about salvation. So thus the Bible says, work out your salvation. That's not saying that I've got to do it. What it's saying is I left somebody, the Holy Spirit, so that your salvation can be worked out, as in shown. So the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify me. You see, and sometimes you read the Bible and some, I just blame us as humans. I'm not going to blame God. But sometimes God is speaking about future and also the present and the past, because with God, it's all the same. Now, my mind just got blown. Because how is that possible? I don't know. But God, there is no time. But that's because God's awesome. But when it comes to sanctification, I am, in Ephesians, in the heavenlies. Like, no, you're not. I know, but I am. So he's talking about that. But then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify me every day. You're like, well, you are sanctified. Yes. In the area of salvation, I don't have to do anything. But once I'm saved, God in this world every day wants to move me every day a step towards the image of Christ. That's called present sanctification, or sometimes you'll hear it progressive sanctification. So what is God trying to do? Every day he asks you, through the power of the Spirit that is in you, move towards me. That's your job. You don't have to do it alone. But guess what the Bible instructs me? Put off the old man. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, I'm supposed to do it, but I don't have to do it in my power. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. But then it says, go over here, put on the new man. Put on the armor of God. Add to your faith. Man, that's some work. But that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do every day. Every day, he wants to partner with you, to build you, to be more like Christ.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Right.
And every day, I should be looking and saying, in what area, God? In what area did I miss that? And you know what the Holy Spirit will do? He'll tell you. But it's not a hurtful thing, because the Holy Spirit is God, and God so loved the world. He is love. That's who's inside us. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. So guess what? You have the Holy Spirit, and you have all of it. But so do I. I don't even understand that. All right, I just blew my mind again. And there's a whole bunch of people in Asia and in Russia and in the Ukraine, maybe. All right, well, no, I'm just kidding. All right, but there's a whole bunch of people all around the world, and guess what? They have the Holy Spirit, and we don't use them up. I don't use them up. The Holy Spirit's not like, oh, man, this guy over here, he's draining me. All right, he's just draining me. You ever have one of those kids? They're just like, you're just fried at the end. All right, the Holy Spirit's never like that. He's all powerful. So let's think about this with our, as we close. So here we have the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. We understand that now in Scripture. See, doctrine's not too hard. We can get it. But sometimes we look at doctrine way out there. But doctrine, remember, all Scripture is given. All right, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is just teaching. One of the teachings is the Holy Spirit. So, who's the Holy Spirit been given? Given to you if you're saved. You got him. He's in you. He's the comforter. He comes alongside. So remember I said I love word studies? So this is what I would recommend with word studies. Try to verify sometimes, like two or three sources. It's helpful, all right, so that you don't look like a complete idiot, all right, making something up. But they say in this word study of the word comforter, remember paracletes?
Yes.
So you can go back and historically study words. So they say that the Roman soldiers, all right, Roman soldiers were animals. They're great at hand-to-hand combat and all that. They say that when they were going to go into battle, that they would pair them up with a battle partner. And the battle partner was called a paraclete. Now think about that in application to this. Now if I was going to go to war, and I was going to be, you know, partnered with somebody. Now you're thinking right now, I'd want to be partnered with you. I know, I'm huge, I'm giant. You know, I would want, I know the David and Goliath story, but we all know this, that was kind of like a one in a million thing. I would still want Goliath. All right, I'd be like, I want him. I want him. All right, because that's one giant that fell. There's a whole bunch of other ones. I want him behind me. Why? Because I want the Goliath destroying people. All right? They come and running at me. I'm like, they're like, all right, turn around, and they die. All right? So guess what happens for you and I? We have to fight every day. Is that a biblical term? Yeah. Paul said he fought the good fight. All right, you go to the Old Testament and you find, I believe that Joshua, the book of Joshua, is one of the greatest pictures for us of the victorious Christian life or the battle that we face every day. So here's all this fighting and you say, man alive, I can't do it. You don't have to. God thought ahead for you.
Amen.
And he gave you a battle partner. So who's your battle partner? Goliath? Oh, no. It's God. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's there. And guess what we do still sometimes? We don't use him. We offend him. We grieve him. We quench him. Why in the world would we do that to a soldier, a partner, that is all powerful? So what's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you have life? See, now you know. That's one of the things. That's why I believe that there's such an attack against the Bible and strong doctrinal teaching and preaching. Why? Because it wants the average church member helpless and defenseless in a wicked world. But you can win. Remember Romans 6, 7, 8 are one of the key passages for understanding the Holy Spirit? What does it say at the end of Romans 6, chapter 8? You can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So take advantage. You know, when I win a battle, this is what I've learned. It's not me. And it really isn't. It's like, oh man, you do. Really? No. It's my battle partner.
Amen.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah, he's got it. And he's really good at winning. But sometimes, guess what I do too? I get up, go through the day, and I'm like, you know what? Yesterday, I kind of won pretty good. So I don't put off. I don't put on. I don't suit up. I don't mortify. And I go out, and my battle partner's like, yeah, you got it. And yeah, I get it. And the Holy Spirit is there. So take advantage of them. Do you have life, conviction, peace, help? Are you moving towards godliness? If not, you're not taking advantage of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just a moment. We'll have a time of invitation. What about you this evening? Did God deal with you? If so, maybe you need to use the old-fashioned altar. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation time. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we can learn from it. Help us to understand the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. Help us to avail ourselves of that battle partner so that we can win in our day-to-day walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.